Hey, this is Andrea, and you're listening to the City Heart Podcast. We hope that this series inspires you, challenges you, and propels you to dive deeper into your relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
As I said, my name's Pastor Andrea. I am the lovely wife of Pastor Kevin Reed. And together, together, we have the opportunity, the very humbling experience and just a joy to pastor this church. And so I'm just so excited for what God is going to do. So I'm just going to give you a little, y'all know, if you haven't been here before, just get ready. I'm real transparent and real. So I just want to apologize at the top for whatever comes out. If you're y'all know me. If your feelings get hurt, just blame it on Jesus. It's not me. Because I want to come and be completely honest about what I'm going through, but I'm also going to be completely honest with you about what the Lord says to me when I'm having my moment. So I'm not going to say anything up here that I'm not already trying to work through and walk through, but I am going to be honest with you about how I deal with the things that I deal with. So one of the things Pastor Kevin wanted me to do today was to talk about how to walk out this Into the Light series we just ended last week. And so as I was thinking about this message today, the Holy Spirit just gave me an amazing vision, and I want to really share that with you. So if you don't know, the series that we've been in, that we're now out of, is called Into the Light. But Into the Light is also the theme that we have as a church for this year. And the question that we asked ourselves in the beginning of that series, but the question we're going to be asking ourselves throughout this entire year is, what would it look like if we lived in the light? And Pastor Kevin so eloquently taught us to think about that in terms of, what if we brought everything to the Lord? Everything. The good, the great, the successes, the dreams, the hopes, even our dirty laundry, what we're not even wanting him to see, not even wanting him to understand. What if we brought all that into the light? What if we didn't have to hide? What if we didn't have to live a life where we felt like we had to be on all the time? But we could bring that to the Lord. So that's the series we just came out of, right? And that's what we're going to be talking about all throughout this year. And so when I started thinking about that and trying to figure out, man, how am I going to do a standalone message that's not in a series based off of this amazing information that we just went over? And so as I was praying about this and thinking about this, the Holy Spirit kind of showed me a vision of what it looks like to really be in the light and stay there. Because if I'm going to be real with you and completely honest with you, every message that he taught in this last series was so great. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow, I need to hear that. But it was also brought up a lot of, if I'm going to be really real, anxiety and being overwhelmed with the idea of, okay, I really do now have to deal with what I haven't been dealing with. Because now he's put it out there. I've heard it. I'm now responsible for it. And so today I want to talk about the realities of staying in the light. So the title of this message this morning is How We See It, the Power of Our Perspective. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for what you've already done just in this worship set and what you're doing today. God, I thank you for the life change we've already seen here in this church. And so, God, I thank you just for the word that you've given me for your people. And I just pray, God, just get me 100% out of the way so that you can speak a word to your children, a word of encouragement, a word of love from a father that is like no other father we've ever experienced. God, may we hear the word, and when we read it, I just want it to come alive. Because you say your light illuminates and your light reveals and it uncovers, God. As we go through the word, just make yourself known. Not Dre, not Kevin, but you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. We don't want to leave this place the same. We want to leave here different and changed and just motivated to stay in the light. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we all say together?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so you know what we're talking about. I already gave it to you. So I'm going to, again, I'm real honest, right? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about an issue that I have that I'm working on. Three of my best friends are all in the medical field, right? And so I've got a lot of people around me that I can call and ask so I don't have to spend money on copay. I can just call them first. So I do that. But I've realized that I have an issue when it comes to trusting doctors and trusting people who I'm paying money to. I'm always wondering, are you just trying to get over on me? That's number one. And then I'm wondering, really, this is just a guessing game. this is horrible. My friends are going to be like, really, Drea? We go to school for this. But that's how I feel. when I go to the doctor's office, I'm thinking, you're basing your, whatever you're doing, if it's not on tests, basing off of what I'm telling you. What if I don't even know what I'm telling you? So I have a whole issue with that. That's why I don't take my kids to the doctor that much. I just pray over them and I just say, I'm not spending $35 on copay. That's my own issue. But really that just has to do with not really trusting, because I have been in situations where somebody thought it was one thing and then somebody thought it was something else. So then I'm like, what am I paying you for? Why are you making all this money? I'm broke, you're rich, and I just have my own issues. I'm just being completely honest with you. But we have those same issues in relationships with other people, whether you've had a poor relationship with your parent or your sibling or somebody at work. It kind of affects how we interact with each other. And then you take that and it's like baggage for the next person who comes along who may be exactly what we need, but we're a little bit afraid because we've had this bad experience over here. You guys get where I'm going with this, right? And so I've realized that as I was studying, man, how do we stay in the light? And even though it's overwhelming sometimes and it's scary, I'm like, oh, you're gonna see all of us. How do we stay there? And then why don't we want to stay there? I've realized it's because of whatever we've been through, whatever we've gone through, sometimes it makes it difficult to just trust. It makes it difficult to believe God at what he's saying and who he's saying he is and what he's saying he could do. So this morning, I want to talk about how we can stay in the light. But I think the first thing that's so important to talk about is knowing who God is. And when I say knowing, not just knowing, but believing. Because the worship team, you guys did an amazing job. You were over here preaching, ministering. I'm so excited. And throughout most of the songs that we sang, we're just talking about the goodness of God and that he's a redeemer. He sets us free and God is just so good. But sometimes I think we know that. Like, we know it. We know God exists. But do we really engage and interact with him based off of what we know? And if I'm being real honest, I can tell you I don't always do that. I don't always engage with him based off of the truth. A lot of times I engage with him based off of my past jacked up experiences. And so then I'm wondering why I don't get from God what I'm looking for. It's because I wasn't engaging with him in a trustful place. I was engaging with him out of a place of fear. So I want to try to break that down for y'all before we leave today so that you can leave here really knowing what you need to do so that you can really engage and experience all that God has for you. Amen? All right, so let's jump into it. So number one, how do you stay in the light? Well, first things first, like I said, we gotta set the record straight. You gotta know that God is good and that he's for you. So let's jump into the word, because the word is where it's at. And as I'm reading these scriptures, I want you to think to yourself, you can look on the screens and stuff like that, but I'm gonna read them and I just want you to think about a few things, two things. Number one, do you believe what I'm about to read is true? Okay, hold on one second. I'm about to teach you how to study the word right here. One scripture at a time. Number one, as I'm reading this scripture, do you believe that what is written is true? That's number one. Number two, if it's true, do you live your life like this? Do you engage with God the way he describes himself? So just let me read it to you. And you think about the questions that I just asked you. Psalm 145 says this: the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and rich in love. Do you believe that? If you believe it, do you engage with him as someone who's gracious, someone who's compassionate, someone who's slow to anger and rich in love? The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Father, do I believe that? Verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises. Father, do I trust you? And he's faithful in all that he does. Verse 14, the Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. God, do I believe you're going to get me up out of this situation? Verse 15, the eyes of all who look to you, right? The eyes of all look to you, and you give us the food that we need at the proper time. Do I believe that? Number one, do I look to you? And number two, do I believe you're going to give me what I need when I need it? Verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Do I believe that? And if I believe it, do I interact with you based off of that belief? Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all of his ways and faithful in all that he does. Verse 18, the Lord is near. Do I believe that? The Lord is near to all who call on him and to all who call on him in truth. God, am I calling on you in truth or am I calling on you in fear? Verse 19, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Psalms 145, do I believe that? And if so, do I engage with him based on the truth? 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, this is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only son so that we might live through him, that him being Jesus Christ. Do I believe that? If so, do I engage with him like that? So how do we stay in the light? We stay in the light by knowing, not just believing, because even the demons believe that Jesus exists. That's why they're working so hard. They believe that, and they know it, but they don't accept it, right? And so I'm talking about a real trust. Do I trust God at his word? When you hear these scriptures and you hear that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love, that he's good, that he's trustworthy, that he's faithful, man, do I believe that? If you don't, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to make you feel bad for not believing it. I'm here to encourage you and try to get you to believe it. That's my job. My job is to get you to believe that God is for you, that he actually wants you to walk in freedom, that he actually wants you to live here on the earth a life that is not perfect, because that's not a reality, not free from chaos, because that certainly is not a reality, and not free from challenge, but he wants you to live a life where you can navigate through whatever life brings you with joy, with peace, with purpose, and that when things happen, because believe me, if you've lived long enough, they will happen, and they probably have already happened. He wants to be able to carry you through that, but do you believe it? You can't be in a relationship with someone that you won't be in a relationship with. They can't help you if you don't let them in. And so I'm just here to encourage you this morning that God is for you. He can't, and he doesn't want to be against you. Let me just prove it to you in case you don't know. I'm going to go over a familiar passage of scripture. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, he's such a little Southern preacher, because we're going over John 3:16. But I'm about to break it down for you in the way that God broke this down for me, and I had to repent. And I've been in this for a little bit and have read this and memorized it. And my children, if they haven't already, are going to memorize it. But I want to break it down pretty much word by word for as far as the big words that you know. So just so we can go over it. And if you don't know it, great, because it's going to feel fresh and new to you. And if you do, just hold on. I want it to feel fresh and new when we get through this. Okay, John 3:16 and 17, but we'll start with John 3:16. And it says this, for God so loved the world, right, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, believes in his son, shall not perish, but have eternal life. So we're just going to stop right there at verse 16. For God so loved. If you look up the Greek of loved, it means this. For God so wishes well to. For God so takes pleasure in. For God so, and this is the one I love, longs for. The world. For God so, that's so crazy to me, because before he sent his son, we were just completely not worthy of that kind of love. For someone to long for us, right? To just take pleasure. How can you take pleasure in someone that is completely just disrespecting your sovereignty? For God so loved, took pleasure and longed for the world, that he did this, he gave the one and only son, the most precious commodity for him, right? The only thing that his heart, he longed for us so much. He took pleasure in us so much that he gave us his one and only son, that whoever believes in him. That word believes, when you look at the Greek, it comes from the Greek word pistis, which doesn't just mean, like I was talking about before, not just a knowing. Oh, I know God. I know Jesus. But this word comes from the word pistis, which means faith. So God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever has faith in, it also says not just faith, but a trusting. Whoever is trusting in his son shall not perish. And we're talking about not just a, I am aware that Jesus exists. We're talking about an intimate knowing, but also a believing. I trust you with my life. I trust that you're not going to do me dirty. I trust that if I do what you're asking me to do, that when I fall back, you've got me. That's what this word believes really means. You have to understand when you're reading the Bible, we're reading it in English. But we're not reading it in the language that it was actually written in, that the New Testament is written in Greek, most of it. And so the Greek words are being transliterated, is that the right way to say that? Or just put into English based off of our English language. So sometimes we miss what the author was really trying to say based off of our cultural understanding of the English words that we're reading. So when we see the word believe, we just think, do you believe in magic? You know, do you believe? Do you just believe? Right? You're just thinking, do I know? Or am I aware? Yeah, we're aware of Jesus, but God is talking about something so much more deeper than just an awareness. He's talking about a just deep intrinsic faith. Nobody can shake me from this. I'm entrusted. I'm putting my life on the line for you, believe. That's what we're talking about here. So we're saying, for God so loved, he longed for, he took pleasure in us so much that he gave his one and only precious son to us. So that if we believed in that real faith kind of believing, then what would happen? Then none of us would perish. So then we look at that and think, oh, great, I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah. But when you break down the Greek word of perish, what it really means is to utterly destroy, to lose or do away with. So, of course, yes. Twofold. This thing is talking about our lives. If you didn't know, I'm just going to tell you the end of this story. When you die, you will be held responsible for how you live your life here on the earth. Amen. So yes, this scripture is talking about life after physical death. But it's also talking about life here on the earth. Okay? So we just got out of this series called Into the Light. We were talking about coming into the light and giving God everything and saying, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with this, but just come on, right? We're talking about that. And so as I was looking at John 3:16, I realized, what if this scripture is not just talking about like life after death, but what if it's talking about the things that I'm dealing with right now? What if this scripture is saying, for God so loved me, or you longed for me, you take pleasure in me so much, even when I was in my sin, that you decided to make a decision to take somebody else's life so that I wouldn't have to lose my life if I believe in that, if I trust in that. What if when you say, so that I won't perish, what if you're also talking about not just my life, but so that I won't perish by the things that I haven't been dealing with? Okay? So what if by me trusting in you, God, it's really saving me? By me saying I'm going to come into the light, I then won't die from the things that I have not dealt with. Because let me just tell you a little story. My grandmother, oh, I just love her. She's no longer with us. I do have one grandmother left who is like 84 and taking a master's class, okay? She's amazing. So I got a great lineage of amazing black women in my life. But anyway, the grandmother who raised me, whose house we now have the blessing to live in, she was fabulous, right? She was just, everybody loved her. We look like identical. I should have brought a picture of her. But one of the things that made her amazing but was also a curse was that she was so thoughtful and always thinking about other people that she never really stopped. So I want to say maybe I was in middle school, I think, when she started to not feel well. But she just kept going and going. She worked at JPS. She worked at Blackburn Middle School. Whoop, whoop. Going up and down the stairs to her gifted classroom because she was a gifted teacher. And she started getting out of breath. You know, then she's thinking, I'm just out of shape, because she was, because we ate like Southern people, okay? It just wasn't a healthy situation. So she started changing her diet. I noticed that. She changed her diet. Then we're going to walks. We're at Callaway High School, walking around the track after school. And she's doing everything that she thinks she needs to do. And she even does go to the doctor here and there, and they're thinking, oh, it's just high blood pressure. It's just X, Y, and Z. So then after a while, she just stopped going. You know, the trust with doctors, obviously, it's hereditary distrust. So after a while of just keep going, not dealing with stuff, next thing we know, she's diagnosed with breast cancer. After we get diagnosed with breast cancer, then we know we've got heart disease and all this stuff. It wasn't until a while when her kidney started failing that we realized that she really had lupus. Had we recognized that she had lupus early on, because if you don't know, lupus starts to attack every organ in your body. A lot of the things that she went through, we might have been able to catch it had we caught that earlier. And so as amazing as she was, sometimes I get frustrated, my aunt gets frustrated, and we say to each other, slow down, check on that. Mm-hmm. Because she let something linger for so long that it caused her to perish, I believe, before her time. So I'm not saying that to bring you down. I'm saying perhaps when God is saying that I want you to believe in my son so that you won't perish, I do believe it's talking about life after death. But I also think that God knows, because he's God, the things in our life, our physical health, yeah, but in our souls that we just let linger, that we don't deal with. He knows that if you don't come into the doctor's office, let the doctor pull the light down so I can see a little closer into what's going on. If you don't let him do that, perhaps that dead relationship that you keep holding on to, but it's actually not even breathing anymore, is actually going to start to have your body parts start to decay. Because if you don't cut it off, you're about to lose everything. Maybe God is just trying to get you to let go of that thought process that you've got, your perspective on your situation. He's trying to get you to look at it through the eyes of hope, but you keep looking at it through the eyes of fear and the eyes of death, and so you keep wondering why things aren't changing. Maybe God's saying, I just need you to just stop, because I'm trying to give you life, but you keep clinging to death. Okay, so you got me. So, for God so loved the world that he said, just believe in my son and then you won't perish. But then you'll have eternal life. And I think I spoke about the word eternal. A lot of us look at that and think that it means life after death. But if you actually look up the English definition of the word eternal, it doesn't mean life after death. It just means forever. It means perpetual. It literally means perpetual. It doesn't have a beginning or an end. So this is just, it's so important that you get this. Because we look at this and we only think about our eternity, which we should. We should think about our eternity, because I'm telling you, when you leave this earth, you're going to be held accountable, okay? But it's talking about a perpetual life. So that has got to mean he's talking about today. In addition to life after death, because we are going to live forever, but I believe 100% that God is for us and that he is good and that he wants us to experience that goodness right here today. Amen? So, into the light. Why is it so difficult to stay in the light? Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn us and to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, meaning him, his son. When you think about the word condemn, the first thing I think of is something super negative. I think about an old condemned house, or, oh, you know, I'm condemned in the family, I'm the black sheep. I think that's the first thing we think about. The Greek here actually just says to judge or to decide. And so we put the disapproval on it. We put this negative connotation on it. But it really just means to make a judgment. And so God is saying to us, for God did not send his son into the world to make a judgment of the world, but to save the world. And then verse 18 says, but if you don't believe in him, you already stand condemned. You already stand judged, because you are making the decision to be judged by not believing. So what I'm trying to say is this. I think that some of us come to God and we think, you're going to judge me. you're going to not be happy with me. You're going to have a disapproval of me. So therefore, I don't really want to come to you because I don't know what you're going to say. Or I think I know what you're going to say, so I'm just not going to come to you. Don't our kids do that? Mm-hmm. They think we're going to be upset. And 9 times out of 10, it probably wouldn't have been. But then you lied, so now I'm upset. This is not a God just loves you, just be how you are message. Let me just tell you, this is not that message. This is a God made a decision to save. When you look at the Greek of that, it actually means rescue and heal and take you out of a captivity. It's not just save like you're trying to save some dollars. It's like save like trying to save your life, like sex trafficking, saving. Like I'm trying to save your life. He's saying that Jesus is like, I didn't come here to sentence you, to judge you, to say, get your life together. I'm saying, come on, I have life. Let's get it together. Okay? So I have to lay this foundation because if we're going to talk about how to stay in the light, you've got to know who we're talking about. Because if you don't know who we're talking about, and if you don't believe, I'm talking about trust, if you don't believe and trust the God that we're singing about, why do you think we're up here jumping? We're crazy? Yeah, we got a lot of energy. But we have been rescued. We have been saved. When everybody else said, I don't know about them, God said, yeah, I know about them. That's why we sing so passionately. That's why we lift our hands. This is not just church as usual. I'm just going to tell you right now. I do not care. I have to really work on it. I don't care so much what everybody else thinks. I'm so rebellious without Jesus that I will not do it. I will not do the right thing just because you told me to. That's without Jesus. That's why I need Jesus. So I'm just saying that I don't care. I don't care what anybody else says. The reason I worship as passionately as I do, and I'm going to preach this message as passionately as I'm going to preach it, is because my life has been forever changed. And God does not judge me based off of who I was or even who I am right now. All he wants to do is save me, set me free, and come on, girl, let's keep going, all right? Amen. So how do we stay in the light? Number one, you got to know who God is and that he's for you. I hope you understand that he's for you. Hopefully I have convinced you that God is for you. He's not trying to condemn you. He's actually trying to give you life today. Before you even get to heaven, it's even better. Okay, that's number one. Number two, God is light. And light is good. We just spent a whole series on God is light. I'm not going to re-preach it because Kevin be like, girl, sit down. I'm not going to re-preach it. But if you haven't listened to this series or if there's a message that really stood out to you, go back, look on in a Facebook Live on the past videos, go on the podcast, and just let the word minister to you. It's not PK, it's God speaking through him. Let the word just minister to you. So one of the scriptures that kind of resonated with me in that particular series was this, John 8, verse 12, which says, and this is Jesus saying, this is literally Jesus talking about himself saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me is never in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so throughout this series that we just ended, we said that God is light. Jesus is saying, I'm the light. And what does light do? It illuminates, it reveals, it uncovers, it exposes, but then it heals and it brightens us and gives us wisdom. And so we talked about Jesus being the light of our life. And what does a light do? Psalms 119, 105. For your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so we talked about how Jesus is the word. And through Jesus, through reading the word, through studying the word, through believing and trusting in the word, we would be illuminated and we would have wisdom, we'd be bright and be healed. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, he will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of our heart. If there's areas of our life we're trying to figure out, why is this happening? Why do I feel this way? The word itself, as you study the word, will start to reveal to you where you're missing it. Or maybe where you're not seeing it right, or maybe where other people you've allowed in to make you feel the way you feel. So it's just such a good series. Go back and listen to it. So number one, how do we stay in the light? Number one, you got to know who God is. You got to know that he's for you. He loves you. And you got to understand what he does and that he is light and that that light has powers that are good for us. And so how do we stay? Well, what if I know all that? There's either one or two groups of people in this room. You know that God is good. you believe it, like the trust that I'm talking about. You really do. You believe it, you believe it, you believe it. But you still feel like, but I'm still scared to like really deal with all the stuff that has now been uncovered that I see. That it could be you. You could be in this room saying, I hear you, but I just don't know yet. I don't know about staying in the light. I don't know about exposing all of myself to God, because what if something happens and it doesn't happen the way he said it's going to happen? How do you deal with that? As I was preparing for this, one thing that God reminded me of was a show called Biggest Loser. And I thought to myself, A, the show is amazing that people could have the self-discipline to do that. Obviously, you have all these great things around them to help them. But it's, I was thinking about the weigh-ins, especially in the beginning of the show, because you're just getting started. And if you've ever seen this show, the guys normally have to take off their T-shirts and go and stand on the scale. And so it hit me. If I have been dealing with that kind of weight as long as the people on those contestants are dealing with that, I probably would feel so uncomfortable having to, A, be on TV and everyone is watching everything that I'm doing, but then have to take my shirt off and now you're seeing everything that I've worked so hard to hide. And not only that, I'm seeing everything that I've worked so hard to hide. And so then the Holy Spirit will say, Cedre, that's why even me, that's why staying in the light can be challenging, because not only does God see it, but I see it. Yeah. And that can feel like a lot. That can feel overwhelming. And not only can I see it and God can see it, but now everybody else can see it. Yeah. And all we do all of our lives is hide. Yeah. But we don't want anyone to know that we don't have it all together. We don't want anyone to know what our bedroom looks like. If it's not clean, it's not clean. It's just not. When I was pregnant with Christina, somebody gave me like a maid service or something to come clean every 2 weeks. I would literally clean before they got there. Kevin is like, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm like, I don't want them to see that we do not have it together. Let me give you another example. Going to the dentist. How many of y'all, I know, do not tell me that y'all don't brush your teeth like crazy before you go to the dentist. Now, I did Google this. Apparently, it's just a good gesture because you don't want your breath to be stinky. So it's kind of like, it's the nice thing to do. But I'm not doing it for the dentist. I'm doing it because I don't want them looking at me like, what have you been doing? Because they're going to know anyway. You're going to have cavities. Can't get rid of cavities in one toothbrushing session. So anyway, this got me thinking, how many of us do that? How many of us are just trying to straighten up and clean up before we let somebody, you know? Or like if you have to go to the doctor. This is another reason why I don't want to go to the doctor, because it's distrust, but it's also, I don't want you exposing me. Do you work out regularly? No. I know you're going to ask me that every year. Do I change? No, I don't. I don't change. What's your eating habit like? I'm going to try to tell you the truth right now. You know, nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to be exposed. And so the Lord was like, just think about that Biggest Loser show. They don't want to get up there. They're thinking about the money. They're thinking about, I'm going to try to make it. I'm going to try to win. But it's a lot, because it's not only God seeing it. I think we're almost a little bit okay with him seeing it because we know he really already knows. I think the thing that really stresses us out is that we've tried so hard to hide, and now we actually have to look at it. Yeah. And other people are going to have to look at it, too. And so as I was praying about that, I'm like, Lord, how do you, okay, thank you for that word. But what do we do with that? And the Holy Spirit says this to me. He said, Dre, don't allow fear to keep you bound and in the dark. Don't allow your fear of being found out keep you sick. Don't allow your fear of what everybody else is going to think keep you stuck where you are. Don't allow your own self, negative self-talk to keep you there. Don't allow the enemy's self-talk to keep you there. Don't allow your fear or your worry of what if this doesn't work. That's why I started with who God is. Because it's really important. If you're going to stay in the light, you are not going to like what you see. It's just, it is what it is. But what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make some choices about what you start believing in the light. Because I'm telling you right now, when you stay in the light, not only is your own negative self-talk going to be really loud, but the enemy is going to be really loud and like, girl, do you see that? I see that. Ooh, you were hiding it, but now it's clear. And so you're going to feel that. You're going to hear that. And you're going to think to yourself, man, I've been like this for so long. Am I going to be able to do this? And you know what? You are not going to be able to do this. You are not going to be able to do this. And what God is saying is, I'm not saying for you to do it. I'm saying come into the light so that I can see, so that God, I can see what's going on and so that I can fix it. See, we're coming into the light so that the doctor can see what he needs to see. We're not coming into the light so that we can see and so that we can begin to do surgery on ourselves. And so I just wanted to make sure that nobody in this room thinks that this series that Pastor Kevin was talking about the work that you could do on your own. He's talking about the work that you can do with the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. Because the scripture tells us that it's the power of God working within us that makes it so that there's nothing that's impossible for us. That's what God is talking about. Okay, so fear. I believe that fear is the number one reason why we might come into the light right quick because it sounds real good. The message was on fire and I'm like, yeah, God, I'm going to do this. We're going to be turning right back around when we start to look at what we just exposed. Please, 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 ma'am, please, sir. I'm even saying this to myself because I had to remind myself of this daily. Don't allow fear to keep you bound. Don't allow fear to keep me in the dark. I know that darkness is bad, but it feels so good because I don't have to look at how ugly that area actually is. So we definitely have a room or two in the house that just close that door. Just close that door. There's a lot of stuff in there. We haven't organized it. Just close that door. Close that drawer. This is my junk drawer. I'm just not going to deal with it. Lord. Let's go back to that John 3. It's a lot there, y'all. John 3, verse 18 says this. Whoever believes in him, believes, remember it's not just believes, it's like trust, it's him or nothing else, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they didn't believe. They're already condemned because they didn't believe. So this is the verdict, verse 19 of John chapter 3. Jesus says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, thank you, Lord, but people loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been seen in the sight of God. I have always looked at this scripture like, if you're naturally an evil person, then you just like darkness. But the Lord checked me. I'm like, you're thinking of yourself too highly. And he says, I want you to look at this scripture. Verse 20 says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Don't you realize that when you walk in fear, you're not walking in faith? And fear is rooted when it comes to our faith and our Christianity, it's really rooted in a lie. And so verse 21 says, but whoever lives by the truth. And I love how it didn't say whoever lives by the light. It says whoever lives by the truth then comes into the light. That's so good. So that it may be plainly seen that what they've done, what they're really doing it in the sight of God. So then in verse 21, when I saw that what they have done has been done in the sight of God, I always thought that the people who come into the light and who live by the truth were doing things right. Like the things that they were doing were good things, and that's why they were doing it in the sight of God. But that is not what that scripture is saying. Verse 21 is literally saying that if you live by the truth, and the truth he's talking about is the truth about him, if you live by the knowing that you know who God is and that he's good and that he's for you and that he wants to give you life, if you live by that truth, it's easy to come into the light no matter how you are. Because no matter how you are or where you currently stand, not staying the same, I'm not saying that. I'm saying come into the light because you know what God is saying to you, and you are agreeing with the process of sanctification. You're agreeing with the process of getting it together with God. If you believe that truth, you can come into the light so that what you're currently doing, what you are currently lacking, what you currently need can be seen plainly by God and in his sight. So what you're doing, even when you're missing it, can be seen by God. I'm telling you, this week, I have never seen that scripture like that. I thought when you come into the light, you come into the light because you got it all together. And you can do stuff that God can see. And I believe Jesus is literally telling the people, no, what I'm saying is, if you buy into this truth about who I am, this is Jesus talking, then you can come into the light because you're doing it by truth and not by fear anymore. You're believing the truth and not the lie of the enemy anymore. You're believing the truth and not the lie of your past or how people raised you and they didn't know any better. They're just telling you how they believe. This is what we think, but it's not the truth. But if you live and walk by the truth of Jesus Christ and what God really wants for you, you can come before him and be in the light just as you are so that he can begin to do a work in you. Just want to encourage you this morning. He's not looking for perfection. That's not going to happen until you get to heaven and you get a new body and we're in heaven. We're in a totally different situation. He's looking for holiness. Now, you might think holiness is perfection. It's not. When you look at the Greek of the word holy, it means set apart. So when you look at that and you break that down, it means someone who's just fully surrendered. Someone who has made the decision to live 100% for God our Father, for Jesus Christ the Son, our brother in the faith, right? And the Holy Spirit. That is what we're talking about. That's what God is saying. Hey, I've called you to be healthy and whole and holy. And for some of us, it thinks, I just got to get it together before I come to the light. I got to get it together before I go to the doctor. No, you're going to the doctor because you're sick. Yes. And I don't want you to leave this earth before your time, right? Because God has got something he wants to do through you, but he's got to work in you first. Yes. Surrender. My God. This verse, it talks about because their deeds were evil. It's not just the evil actions, too. I think it's sometimes the things that people do to you. The evil things that have occurred in your life. Mm-hmm. We hide those things, too. And I just want to encourage you today that you don't have to live like that. How do we do this? How do we stay in the light? We choose to. Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses is giving the Israelites these lasting commandments before they enter the promised land of Canaan. Moses says to them, all right, I gave you the Ten Commandments, the covenant. This is how the temple needs to be run. These are all the laws. Here's what's going on today. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 starts here. It says, today, I've given you the choice between life in death, between blessings and cursings. And now I call on heaven and earth to witness to you to make the choice. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Other versions say, and I think the correct version of that should say, for the Lord is your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land that the Lord swore to you and to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How do we stay in the light? Number one, we surrender and say, God, all right, I give up. Not my will, but your will be done. That's what Jesus says, right, in the garden when he's like, Lord, I don't know about this cross thing, but not my will, your will be done. Number one, we surrender. But number two, we make a choice. One of the things that my daughter, Christina, she's six now, I'm working on with her is, listen, you have a choice. You can fix your attitude or you don't. Whatever choice you make, there's an outcome that comes with that. And in these premarital sessions that we've been doing a lot lately, we keep telling all of these soon-to-be husbands and wives, every day you have a choice. What choice are you going to make? Are you going to make the choice to do the work? Or are you not? Because I'm going to tell you right now, whatever choice you make, everybody's going to be able to see what choice you made. You think nobody knows, but you just have to make a choice. And God is saying, all I need you to do when you're in that light, when you start looking around, and you're like, ooh, I don't like what I see, Lord. I don't like what I see. I just want to go back. Make the choice to stay. Because I am telling you right now that God will blow your mind every time you choose him. Isaiah 26:3, I believe, says that those who keep their minds stayed on him, focused on him, will have a peace that they can't even begin to understand. In my mind, that's what surrendering looks like. Because I'm choosing to not let fear overwhelm me. I'm choosing to look to you. I heard the Lord say as I was preparing this message, Drea, stop looking at yourself. That's what we're doing when we're in fear. We're looking around at, oh my God, there's so much stuff I have to do. There's so many issues. I don't know. I told Kevin on, it was Saturday, right? I said, I don't know if I see the light at the end of this tunnel, what we were talking about. He's like, whoa, don't do that. He was like, you don't have to see the light at the end of the tunnel to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. That's why it's a tunnel. And he said to me, and I showed him like it. He said, you need to work on your thankfulness. And I said, okay. I didn't want to hear that in the moment. But he was so right. I was so focused on the task at hand and all these things that weren't getting done. I'm in the light and I'm seeing all the fat that needs to come off. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. And when he said, you need to work on your thankfulness, it made me realize what the Holy Spirit already said. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your issues. Stop looking at the things that you don't think are going to happen. And I need you to start looking at me. Because when you keep your eyes on me and your focus on me, then are you sustained. Then are you steadfast. And you have a peace and you can stand in the light. Just as you are with all that fat you need to lose, all that baggage you need to lose, you can stand there and let me examine your heart and let me examine your soul and let me decide what needs to go. And when you choose to walk in the truth, when you choose to accept that God is for you, that he's not trying to condemn you, but he's trying to save you, I can stand here in the doctor's office and trust that whatever prescription he gives me, whatever he prescribes, it's gonna work. I trust that he knows what he's doing, and I can be bare before him and vulnerable and not perfect and overweight, and I didn't exercise this year like I was supposed to, and I did not brush my teeth or floss. Lord God, I did brush my teeth today, but I didn't floss. I didn't do all the stuff I knew I was supposed to do, but I can stand there not feeling judged. I could stand there just feeling so loved and cared for. And I'm not worried when I keep my eyes up instead of looking down and, I can be full of peace, because your word says that if I keep my mind on you, I'm full of peace. But your word says that if I give it to you, I'm full of peace, that you would surround me with songs of thanksgiving, even in my brokenness. So that's my prayer for you this morning. That you stay in the light, because that's where he is. He is the light. And let me tell you, he's not there to condemn you. He's there to save you. He wants to get to that stuff that's about to kill you and get it before it does. But thanks be to God, we also serve a God that's a resurrecting God. So even if it's brought you to this really deathly place, he can even rescue you there. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, my Jesus, it's who we're talking about. We're talking about you. Jesus, thank you so much for what you've already done. My prayer, Lord God, is that we leave here today deciding to surrender. No longer just staying on that question, do I believe this to be true? And do I engage with you based on these truths? But now saying, God, I believe. Now saying, God, I need you. I need you to help me stay in the light. I need you to help me not allow fear to keep me in darkness. I need you to help me not allow fear to keep me bound. You've done it all. And you want to. And you didn't say I had to have it all together. You just said you wanted me to believe that truth and operate as if I believed it. So if you're in this room, I'm just praying right now. I want you to think about whatever I said that the Holy Spirit then used to talk to you about something else. This is your moment. So just decide. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose life today? That eternal, that perpetual life today? Because if that answer is yes, let me tell you, not only is the Father pleased with you, but he's been longing for you. Since before you were even here on the earth, he longed for the world so much that he made a choice to make sure that you had full access to him through Jesus Christ. So with every eye closed, if you're in this room and you've heard this message and you've heard the breakdown of John 3:16, and you finally understand God's heart for you, and you're like, you know what? I need that. I need that kind of longing where someone just wants to help me instead of put me down. If you need that and you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, can I just ask you, while nobody else is looking, just to raise your hand up and put it right back down. I want to pray for you. I see those hands in the name of Jesus. Yes, I see those hands. You can put them down. You don't have to hold them up. As we continue to pray, I just want to pray for the believers in the room. Yes, Holy Spirit. If you recognize that you have not been making the daily choice to focus your attention on him, to surrender your will to his way for you, we can just start over. We can do that right now. Because I'm going to raise my hand too and say, I'm going to start over. If that's you, just lift your hand up so I can just make sure I'm praying for the right people. If you just want to start over and say, God, I believe, but I totally have not chosen you every day. But I'm going to choose you today. I see those hands in the room. Hallelujah. So just to submit this in, because I think it's good for us to hear ourselves make a confession of faith. That's why we pray out loud. I want us with our eyes closed and our heads bowed to confess some things over our lives together. So for those of you who are making this commitment for the first time, and those other believers in the room, and you're saying, Lord, I'm rededicating. As a church, let's just make this confession, this prayer together. Everybody, let's say, Lord, I love you. And I thank you for loving me. Lord, I receive you, Jesus Christ, the Savior of my soul, the lover of my heart. I repent today for not trusting you. I repent today for not choosing you. I choose to focus my attention on you, and I receive peace, and I receive joy, and I receive life, and I receive purpose, and I receive wisdom, knowledge, understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit working in me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you want to hear more about this series or learn more about our church, check us out at cityheartjackson.com or follow us online at cityheartjxn.